Tonight, if you will, turn with us back to Ezekiel 14, and we'll at least try to finish up with Ezekiel 14. If you have a companion Bible, it's 1123 is the number on the page. And we wound up, I believe, about the 14th, 15th verse last week, and we'll pick it up there tonight and continue on. And also, chapter 15 is short, but I don't know where we'll have time to get into it or not, but if we do, we can. If we don't, we'll save it for another time. So our lesson tonight is study 98, so you can see we've been in the study of the word walk, and we started out over a year and a half ago, and we've made it, you know, this far, but then again, there's been times that walk didn't show up, but not really too often, because the word walk is so, there's so many avenues to the word walk that, and then too, you know, and especially in the Old Testament, it's has to do with our manner of life, and man's manner of life is different from God's way that He wants it done. And so you can't go far without coming across the word halak and yalak, because that halak is in the Strong's.
What page is that?
It's on page 1123 that we're going to go to tonight. But halak is the way man wants to go, and yalak is the way that God would have you to go. And quite often that's not the same course travel. And so we're going to pick up again, and we just started out, and it might be good to just run back for just a second to 14. 14 verse of chapter 14 in Ezekiel, and it talks about three men. And this is Adonai Jehovah speaking. And it says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, meaning in the world, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. So they were responsible really for themselves. But they were also intercessors. They also created a path, not only for themselves. Of course, Noah started out to replenish the world. And he was, before we talked about this, he was before Israel was a nation. He was earlier than Job or Daniel, either one. But he was before Israel was a nation. And then you got Daniel here that is a true Israelite. And so this is, and it gives you the understanding of this interversion here of the structure that is in God's Word. And then Job, of course, was also before Israel was a nation too. So you got those two on each end, and you got Daniel in the middle, which certainly he was an Israelite that had been carried away into captivity. And of course, God came to Daniel and gave him the understanding of the dream and all this stuff that went along with that. And so, you're going to find that Noah, Daniel, and Job goes down through this a little bit, because Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 12 to 23, it talks about the judgment, the literal judgment on God's land and, of course, Jerusalem, the city that God had chose where he built his temple. And so this is the judgments and the reasons behind these judgments. And 12 to 23 is the literal judgments that is coming down, and we'll go somewhere and read a little bit about how all this come about. But let's go ahead and start with verse 15 with our study tonight. Verse 15, he says, if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man pass through because of the beast. So he's going to talk about these things are good that are going to happen, and that he is going to do to the land, because, you know, he's going to make it desolate for that 70-year period, and he's going to get back his Sabbath days and holy days. All of these kings of Israel did not obey God's word, and so he's going to get it back in that sense. That's certainly the reason. And it says, if I cause noisome beast, and that's annoying and hurtful wild beast, and I think here he's talking about a migration. And, you know, you can turn on your television in different parts of the world. You can see these beasts going through sections of property over around the rainforest and so on, that mankind would just be in the way if they got in their way as they travel back and forth. And even so much, you know, the crocodiles get in the river and wait on them to come, you know. I don't know if they're make that much noise, but anyway, those particular ones. But it said, if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, or to go through the land that I gave to Israel.
And
it says, and they spoil it. So these beasts, they're going to be evidently enough of them till they can spoil the land or make it unlivable, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts. By the mere numbers, I think, it becomes desolate or waste or unfit for habitation by man. It says that no man may pass through because of the beast. So the beast evidently here were more than man could conquer. In my mind, he is saying that, you know, like he sins, sometimes like he sends the plagues, and he sends the frogs and the locusts and all these things, and man just can't overcome them. It's God who starts it, and God who has to end it.
Yeah, and you're kind of at their mercy till they get done.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's that situation there. And then we get down to 16 again, and it seems like these verses, you know, repeat themselves, but sometimes there's a little difference in them. It said, though these three men were in it, or in the earth, and in that land, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. So here he's saying, though these since these three men, if you go back to verse 14, you got Noah, Daniel, and Job were in the earth. And he says this, as I live, saith the Lord God. And as I live there is kind of like when he is making a point to Ezekiel here. He called him son of man, or son of the fallen one. And so, as I live, because God always lives, God never dies. And so as God lives, it is a truth.
It's like Scripture says, when God, who could swear by none greater, swore
he
by
swears
himself.
By himself.
Yeah.
Okay. So Adonai Jehovah says this. And he says, they shall deliver. And that deliver is Nafsal. The word deliver can be in a good sense, or it can be in a bad sense. And here means to save and rescue. They're going to save themselves or rescue themselves because of their righteousness. But deliver here is 53:37 in the Strong, but it says neither their sons nor their daughters. So they're not there for delivery of their own, even their own offspring. Because that's not been promised them by God, but to them it was promised. To Noah, to Daniel, and to Job. He promised that he would take away the obstructions, that he'd take away those things. And he says, they only shall be delivered, that is, saved or rescued, as a promise. Because as Jehovah lives, that is a true statement, and his promise is a true statement. So he'd like Ronnie said, he swears by himself.
That he can swear by none greater.
Yes. Okay. And he says, but the land shall be desolate. And desolate there, it gets into the 8,000 number in the Strong's in the Hebrew. And so, I've been saying over and over again, it seems like that God had to come up with some new words when you get that far into Scripture because of the unrighteousness of the people that were supposed to be carrying His Word. So this is 8077, and it means the desolate. The land that is to be desolate is in ruin or waste. It is not livable. It's gone that far. And you get to verse 17, and it starts out with or. Well, we just talked about the wild beast, or. That means either. So there's something else. So let's go back to Ezekiel 5, because we didn't cover that when we was going through Ezekiel. This is not really a study of Ezekiel, but it's kind of gotten to be. But let's turn back to Ezekiel 5 and look at verses 11 through 17. And this is on page 1111 if you have a companion Bible. Well, it starts there. One sentence, one line, and then it goes to the next page. It says, wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, again, this is Adonai Jehovah, surely because thou hast defiled my sanctuary. So we're going back even before he picked Ezekiel up by the hair of the head and carried him back to the temple to show him the things that they had done that they thought God didn't know about. So, because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thy detestable things and with all thine abominations, therefore will I also diminish thee, neither shall mine eyes spare, neither will I have any pity. Okay, let's see how he's going to do it. We've been talking about it a little bit. Let's just see, because he's already mentioned it. A third part of thee, now this is the nation of Israel, a third part of thee shall die with the pestilence, and with famine shall be there, they be consumed in the midst of thee. And a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee, and I will scatter a third part unto the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. Thus shall my anger be accomplished, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be comforted, and they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it in my zeal, when I have accomplished my fury in them. Moreover, I will make thee waste and a reproach among the nations that are round about thee in the sight of all that pass by. So it shall be a reproach and a taunt, an instruction and an astonishment unto the nations that are round about thee, when I shall execute judgments in thee in anger and in fury and in furious rebuke. I, the Lord, have spoken it. When I shall send upon them the evil sorrows of famine, which shall be for their destruction, and when in which I will send to destroy you, and will increase the famine upon you, and will break your staff of bread. So will I send upon you your famine, an evil beast, and they shall bereave thee, and pestilence, and blood shall pass through thee, and I will bring the sword upon thee. The Lord, I, the Lord, have spoken it. So they already knew. They already know this stuff. So again, over here, we're in 14, and now we're down to 17, and it starts out with an or. So we've already talked about the wild beast. So let's look at some of the other things. It says in 17, or. So that or there is either. So, either if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land so that I cut off man and beast from it. So if we break that down a little bit, and he says, if I bring a sword in 17, and bring there is a is 935 in the Strong's, and it's like bow, B-O, bow in the English. It's the word bow. If I bring, and it means to come or go. It can either be coming or going. So if I bring a sword, a killing tool, now this is my version of a sword. I can't really think of anything else that a sword is really good for except a killing tool. It's used against beast and used against man. Man against man or man against beast. So I generally call it a killing tool. If you don't agree with it, you think of something else, but a sword is a killing tool. Upon the land, Israel's inheritance here, if I come or go with a killing tool, upon Israel's inheritance, and say, sword, go through the land. What's the sword going to do? It's going to bring death. Evidently to at least a third of the nation of Israel. Okay? So, the sword's going to go. It's going to yell at. It may not walk, but it's going to go the way God wants it to go. And do what God wants it to do. He says, so that I cut off or cause to take away man or beast from it. All life. From the land. That's the intent of God. Is to make it waste and ruin. And the land is going to lay that way for that period of time. Then we get down to verse 18. It says, though these three men were in it, again, talking about Noah, Daniel, and Job. As I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. It doesn't speak of their righteousness here, but it infers that righteousness because it mentions it in other verses of Scripture. So, it says, as I live, saith the Lord God, this is Adonai Jehovah speaking his oracles. And he's not, I don't think so much speaking it to Ezekiel as it is being taken down as a record. And because they and their children is going to have it, you know. Because this is only about 12 or 13 years into after the first siege of Nebuchadnezzar, going into Israel. So it says, they shall deliver. That's the same word, to save or to rescue. Neither sons nor daughters, the children or the offspring, because the offspring of these people are the ones, or maybe their children are going to be the ones that are going to come back into the land. It says, but they only shall be delivered themselves. And Noah was saved and rescued by God's promise. By the promise made to Noah by God. Same thing with Job. And Daniel is yet to see all this, but he is. He is getting a firsthand result of that. By the promise of God, these men are going to live out their time according to God's will. Then you get to 19. And you get another or here. Another either. He says, so this is also part of the promise that we read in 19. If I send a pestilence into the land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut it off from man or beast. So he says, if I send a pestilence, there is 1698 in the Strong's in the English version of that is Deber. If I send a Deber into the land, and if you look that up, It's basically an onslaught of unnatural events. Sometimes we call them plagues. Sometimes we call them other things. It is a lot of unnatural events that God can use at His disposal to take lives. You know, it's really a mind-boggling thing when you realize the control that God has over this universe. And all of these things are at His disposal. Mm-hmm. You know. And here, it is the use of blood. Okay. Now, the use of blood spilt is an act of total uncleanliness. Think about this for a minute, because we're going to learn a little lesson here. But blood accepted by God is total purity.
If it's the right blood.
Look at the blood of Christ.
Yeah, amen.
You see. You remember what God told Cain when he asked, "Where art thou, brother?" or something to that thing. Cain says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" or whatever. In so many words. But God says, "Abel's blood calleth to me from the ground." It hadn't been covered up.
Yeah.
So even back to the first shedding of blood of man, it goes back to the thing that if you're going to shed blood, if it's done in uncleanliness, then it's open. But if it's covered by the ground, you know, then it's a little different story. So he says, to pour out my fury on it in blood. So we need to realize what the use of blood is and how it can be. It can be totally unclean or it can be total purity. By how and why and when it's done. Says, to cut off from it man and beast, or cause to take away all life out of the land. Out of the land that God promised to His people that did not keep His promise. Verse 20. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. So there you go. Lower sense, the three were on or in the earth. As I live, saith the Lord God, Adonai Jehovah, they shall deliver or save or rescue neither their offspring. They shall but deliver, save or rescue their own nephesh, their own souls. 53:15 in the Strong. By their righteousness. 66:62. Sadadek, I think is the way that's pronounced. And the righteousness means to be moral, to be clean, to be clear, and to be just. That's what God requires. Moral, clean, clear, and just. Verse 21. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, the noisome beast, and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast. So this is a kind of a summation of what we've been talking about here. Okay, for thus saith the Lord God, Adonai Jehovah, says a question, how much more when I send my four judgments? So, when you look at this, you realize that natural judgments are sent for national sins. But now, this is Jerusalem. He's going to send his four judgments upon Jerusalem. And so why is Jerusalem considered a national here? Because Jerusalem was a national city. It was Israel's center of law. It was their place that God had chosen for his temple. So it was a national city set aside for godly worship. That's where the temple was. So we're talking here about the sword number one, the famine number two, the noisome beast three, and then the pestilence four. The killing two, the hunger, the wild beast, and the plagues. So that was what God said he was going to use in chapter 5. And he says, you know, how much more am I going to have to do when I send these things on Jerusalem? Is that not enough? I think that's the question, really. Would that not be enough for the people of the world to see that God had taken vengeance upon his own? See, that was a way of getting them to be taken away. All life, man and beast, all life, 21. So here, 22 and 23 talks about a remnant. Then he says in 22, yet, or still, yet behold. So behold there is always used as a special attention method. And this special attention here deals with God's remnant. And here it's used in a good sense. A remnant can not be good or it can be good. But it says, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth. Both sons and daughters, behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doing, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. So he's saying you're going to really see the difference. So, he said, therein, or even those still left. Therein shall be left a remnant. And if you look at word remnant up, always think about a piece of cloth or a rag, if you will. But here we're talking about people. And this is 64:13 in the Strong's, and it's Pelotal. And it speaks of a refugee or an escaped person, because it could be either one or both. that escaped all this onslaught that God is going to do, you know, on all of this land and clearing it all out. And this was what Jeremiah and Ezekiel both was worried about, that God was going to be so furious that he was going to kill them all. But no, there's going to be a remnant that shall be brought forth or brought back.
There obviously was, because we've read in Acts, late in Acts, Sunday, where Paul said, mentioned all 12 tribes.
Yeah.
But there was our 12 tribes earnestly served this God.
Yeah, so they may be few in number, or much fewer in number, but still, God saved a remnant from all of the tribes, okay? He said, both sons and daughters, offspring there for replenishment. There's another behold in this verse. He said, they shall come forth unto you. So I'm thinking that these are coming back to Jerusalem and to the temple area. These offspring are the ones that God's going to bring back, because the ones that are there probably are not going to live that time out. And he says, and ye, Jerusalem, shall see their way and their doing. So their way there is their good walk, their good manner of life. And it is, you know, the situation of going the way that God would have them to do, and also their doings, their good deeds as to God's will. Because they're going to be back in God's will at least for a period of time. And he says, and you shall be comforted. 5162 in the Strong's, Malcolm. And that means to sigh or to breathe easier. It's like, oh, it's kind of relaxed. It's over. You know, I mean, it seems to be that sort of thing. And you shall be comforted concerning or as to the ra'ah, the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem or caused to come upon Jerusalem. Even concerning or even as to all that I have brought or caused to happen upon Jerusalem. He said, you're going to see the difference when they come back. You're not going to see the same old bunch that left here, because that was not God's intent and purpose anyway. The same ones were not going to come back. It was like the ones that murmured in the wilderness. They're going to get there. They're going to get taken away to not ever come back again. In verse 24, I wrote 24, that's the reason I read it. In my notes, and they shall comfort you when you shall see their way and their doings, and you shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. And they shall be a blessing when ye shall see their ways, the way that they're going in God's stead, and their doings, the good deeds as to God's will. And ye shall know, or ye shall understand, that I, Jehovah, have not acted without reason, without cause. He had the reason. And the cause was these people that weren't doing what God had put them on this earth to do. He had picked and chosen to be a blessing to him and to carry his word to all the world. They were none of them doing that.
They broke his covenant.
Because he said, I can't use any of them. All that I have done in or to it, talking about Jerusalem, saith the Lord God, Adonai Jehovah. How much time we got left? Well, we got time to do 15. I'm sorry. So let's just go on in chapter 15 because there's another lesson here that we need to look at. And it kind of jumped out at me as I read this little short chapter. And I said, gee. So 15:1 says this, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, this is, he's talking again here straight to Ezekiel again. And the voice of Jehovah, I, Ezekiel, heard. What did he hear? Son of man, here again. This is the 33rd time, and it's in Ezekiel 100 times, and this is not the 33rd total time, but it's the 33rd time that we have used it because we haven't went through every verse of Ezekiel. But this is the 33rd time. Son of Adam, son of the fallen one, Ezekiel, you're from fallen stock, but I have chosen you. This is Jehovah talking to Ezekiel again and again telling him his place and where he's from. Okay? Not hard to understand. But here's the question. What is the vine tree more than any tree or than a branch which is among the trees in the forest? Good question. You got the answer to that one? Yet? Oh, okay. We'll go on then. Son of man. What hath come to be of the vine tree? That's the way it should read. More than any tree. And the vine tree is, or the vine is number 1612 and the Strong's and more is 5750. And more means an abundance or more than any tree. What are we talking about here? That a branch which is among the trees in the forest. Let's go to John. Let's go to the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we haven't done this yet. In our study of history for a long time, we haven't crossed over. But let's cross over and read just a few verses. In 15, because God, Christ, makes quite clear about what a vine is and that he is the vine. Okay. So the question is this over there. What is the vine tree more than any tree? Well, if you're dealing in the rainforest, you got these vines that grows up into the canopy of the trees, and the vine can go from tree to tree. A tree can't do that, but the wood in the vine is not very stable. in that sense. So we'll get into that in a minute. But let's just go ahead and read a few verses here in John 15. 15:1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit.
Prune.
Yeah.
We used to prune an apple tree.
Right. Cut them out. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Let's look at verse 4. He says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. When that vine branches off, it has to stay connected. Otherwise, it's not going to make it. It's going to die. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you cannot do nothing. For if a man abide not in me, listen to this now. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in ye, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Now, I used to think it kind of strange. We had a pastor church, and his name was Bob Spearman. And Bob says, I'm a fruit inspector, and I think this is where he might have picked this up.
Yeah, he wouldn't say that he was a fruit inspector.
Where he might have picked this up from. But that was the situation in the book of John with Christ talking about those that were in him. He's the true vine, and we are his branches. If we're in Christ, we get what we have, we get from him. Now, so let's go back to Ezekiel 15 and read the rest of these 5 or 6 verses, if we have time. And we may have to go through them pretty quick. So it says, what is the vine tree more than any tree? Or that a branch which is among the trees of the forest? So we realize that if in the situation with Christ, then it has to be connected with the root. It has to be connected with the substance that keeps it going. It keeps it moving from tree to tree. Now, the animals can use these things, but man, it's not really profitable much to man. But it is to all other things. Well, listen to this. Shall wood be taken? Verse 3. Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel their own? So verse 3 asks another question. Shall wood be taken or used thereof, or used out of it for making your building, to do any work? Or will man, will these ish, take or use they call it a pin, but it's actually a peg. If you cut a piece off the vine, you use that dowel, that peg, to hang a vessel on, then it's going to die, and it's not going to be strong enough to hold up whatever you might put on there. So it's just not practical for that. So said, or we may take a pin or a peg of it, the vine, to hang any vessel or implement thereon or on it. So verse 4 says, behold. Okay, let's hold on there a minute, because it's calling attention to something. And we realize we've already been told by Christ, when it's cut out or cut off, it dies and is no longer, does no longer have any strength within it. So it has to be in the living. It has to be in Christ in that sense. Because Christ is the vine and we are the branches. So we have to stay in Christ in order to have any strength. If we're not, then we don't have strength. Okay. It is cast or thrown into the fire for fuel. The fire devours both ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meat for any work? So, when we talk about the behold here, that when it, even a peg of it, if it's cut off, it's still no good. Because when it's cut off, it dies. And it's used for fuel. It's used, it is used not fit for any work. The fire devoureth both ends of it, either way or together. It, you know, if you've ever trimmed a vine, and if you can get it in a wad, it'll burn pretty quick. And it says in the midst or the center of it is burned also. And the question is it meat or fit for any work? There is no usable practice for this. And so 5 has another behold in it. And it says, altogether, it's still no benefit to man if it's not in the, if it's not facing to the main vine. When it was whole, it was not any good for any work, because it wasn't put there, I don't think, for man. It was put there for the beast, used because it produces fruit in the animals of the rainforest. They use that, and they can go all through that canopy just like we can walk on a path or a road. They can go, and that fills their bill. So it says, behold, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. How much less shall it be meat yet for any work when the fire hath devoured it and it is burnt? So in verse 6, you have a therefore. Okay, we need to stop and think about this a little bit and see just what we've looked at. Thus saith the Lord God, Adonai Jehovah, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Do you remember when God sent the man with a linen robe through there and he marked the people?
Yeah.
And then they went back. And the fire from the cherubims burnt Jerusalem. Then they went back and burnt some more of it. I think that's what he's talking about here. And he says in 7, and I will set my face against them. They shall go out. Listen to this. They shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. So, it's kind of like, and I've been a fireman for 46 years, and, you know, if you pull up the fire and you got two or three fires going, sometimes you just have to abandon one fire to go to the next one, the next building, to see if you can do something with it. Because if you deem one too bad, and this, I think, is what he's talking about here. This was the way Jerusalem was. When fire came down on Jerusalem, you might get out of one building, but the next one's going to get you. And it said, another fire shall devour them. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. So,
how do you run from God?
Yeah, where do you go? You just can't go. You know what I mean? He said, they shall go out or escape, Yolak, from one hazard, from one fire, to another fire, and this is fire from God, shall devour them. It's going to consume them. Not going to be anything left. In verse 8, we'll go ahead, and this is going to be just about closing time. He said, and I will make the land desolate. I'll make it ruin and waste, because they have committed a trespass. They have all become unrighteous. God says, I can't use them. I'm going to clean the land. I'm going to make it waste. I'm going to make it desolate. It's going to, again, become kind of like a rainforest in that part of the world. And it's going to lay waste for 70 years. And it's going to grow up. He said, I'm going to send beasts in there to clear everybody out, and then I'm going to clear the beast out, man and beast. I'm going to clear out all living. And this is Jehovah's oracle. It is something that the Lord God has said that he was going to do. And he says, as I live, he swears by himself, he is certainly going to do it. So that concludes 14. And the little chapter of 15. But I wanted to bring out the fact that in John 15, all of a sudden, our Lord says, I am the true vine. Well, where do you get the answer? I mean, where do you get that idea from? I mean, I don't know that when we went through there, I don't know that we mentioned it, but we might have did. But the fact is that he lays out the fact that he's like the vine and he's connected to the Father who the husbandman is. And he's going to allow that vine to go wherever it needs to go to do the work that it needs to do. And if any part of it gets cut away, it's going to be destroyed by the fire. It's not going to last. So I guess that's another part of this history that we've jumped into that gives us a little insight into the book of John. But guess what? You know, the 350 years before Christ comes, Jehovah is going to be silent. He's going to get to a point where he said all he's going to say until he comes back as the Son of God. About 350 years. And then, we've got a baby. You know, we've got a new king. And you know what all that starts? We hear it every year, partially. You know, we've been down through all that. But nevertheless, you know, you get these tidbits that the things that you find in the New Testament that we ought to have pretty good understanding of, and all of a sudden something comes up out of the blue for me like that, for me especially, that when Christ said, I am the true vine, I said, boy, I got to go look at this. Because
yeah, I often talk in metaphors. He was either the vine or the door, the way, the truth, the life.
All these things are true. They mean something.
Yeah,
though.
Every one of them was true.
Gives you an insight as to what we're reading here.
Yeah, he taught with comparison with what people already knew.
Yeah.
Make you see.
They're supposed to have.
Yeah, what they should have already known.
Yeah.
Well, they knew what a door was. They just couldn't picture him as being a door. They couldn't make
Well, they knew what vines were because they live in a world that if man hadn't gone in there and hewn out his space in there, it would have probably been kind of like what we consider the rainforest today. And you know, it still had all these bad animals around. I mean, it wasn't no big problem for them to call them up and send them through the countryside there. So that, all this is, it gives you little understandings as you go along that I think will help us down in our studies further on as we get further into it. Because all these things really mean something. They're not just there to make the Bible that thick, you know, they're there for that reason. That particular reason.
Why did he put it down so calmly?
Well, they understood it, and we're looking at it now in English, and it wasn't that way when it was put down. It was either put down in Hebrew, or it was either put down in Greek. And so, these interpretations, when you leave the original way that it came, regardless if it's English or if it's some other Spanish or whatever it is, the translation is not...
Not always accurate.
It's not as accurate or not as good as it was in the original version. So that's the reason it's a little hard to understand that way. But that's the great thing about the Word. It's there for our learning. We can't ever learn it all. It just continues on. That's the reason we study.
Yeah.
The reason he said study to show thyself approved.
Lots of good comments. A lot of good, thoughtful comments.
But he had four and you come. And you let me.
How far have I come?
Yeah.
In... Not sure. Still trying to get there.
That's the point. That's the whole point. It's an endeavor that's a lifetime. It's not... If you studied all of your life, you would not ever exhaust the Word of God. So there's no point in even thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly are not. And that's what man is going to be judged by. Not what he does, especially in this age, it's not what he does, but it's what saith the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when God gets ready to judge the world, when the Son gets ready to judge the world, the only law book he's going to have is God's Word. It's going to be God's Word. And so judging is going to be by the Word of God. In that sense. So why do we need to look? Well, it's kind of like getting into trouble and going out and getting you a lawyer because you don't know what the book says. And so that's the reason we gather together and we study to try to get it in a sense, in a way that we can truly get something out of it. Get what is meant to be God. Thank you. Didn't mean to ramble on, but it brings up questions when you come across something that you never really thought about it very much before. It seems to really get me hitched to something. It's kind of like tying a rope on the back of a car and getting on a skateboard with a rope, you know. You really wonder where it's going to go.
Just got to hang on.
Yeah. And you just got to hang on to you either get it or get dumped, I guess. God bless you, folks. Thank you for being with us tonight. We love you all and pray for us.